I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
Hey guys, it's Taylor Lightman. Last night, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning and realized that Jordy and I never published our interview with Sarah Donnelly, who's running for state rep in Montour and Northumberland counties. We recorded it at Dimfest, sitting at a picnic bench by the creek. It was delightful. I thought my interview with Aranizer Page would be my last before the election, but now, this will. Please, please, please get out and vote tomorrow. But not only that, take some time and message your friends and make sure they vote. If you have some time, go and do a volunteer shift. Even stopping into the offices at Williamsport, Lewisburg, or Bloomsburg for an hour and making some phone calls will be helpful. Maybe it's not your thing, but give it a go all the same.
I think we can probably, because Jesse and you are really coming.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we're kind of officially starting now. We should probably do names because we don't.
Yeah. So this is Barnstorming. It's a podcast on progressive politics in central Pennsylvania. I'm Taylor Lightman. I have a mouthful of food in my mouth right now.
I'm Jordy Cohen. So you should have me speak because I don't have any food in my mouth. We're here with
Sarah Donnelly.
Sarah, what are you up to these days?
I'm running for state representative from the 107th.
Woohoo!
And who's with you?
This is my campaign manager. This is Mary Schramm. Say hi.
Hello.
Mary.
How's that?
So, we were sort of talking about this before, but was there a moment when you decided that, yep, I'm going to run for state rep?
Oddly enough, it was probably about 2 days before the you start signing for the petitions to get on the ballot, and I was just like on the fence and on the fence and on the fence, and finally decided that somebody had to do it, somebody had to step up to the plate, why not me?
Have you done public service or volunteering of some kind before?
I've been involved with the Susquehanna Valley Progressives. Fair Districts was really one of my favorite causes. We did a lot of tabling activities trying to get our redistricting plans to be fair and nonpartisan. That's still an issue that is really near,
ongoing
near
effort.
To my heart.
I'm so glad that they're doing the special session. I think that, you know, I was really worried that we were going to be in a position where we were going to have a terrible bill that was called a Fair Districts bill. You know what I'm saying?
They keep taking very good bills and then they put on so many amendments and weaken them and twist them around. And it really loses the ability to help our voters and help our constituents to have a fair and impartial voting process. And now, this is a part of our problem here in Pennsylvania. It's certainly a part of our national problem.
Mm.
And maybe both of you or either can answer, like, what are some of the specific challenges for running, you know, first-time candidacy in an area that's historically not been very competitive? Oh, you don't want me to ask that question?
Well, no, I mean, your district is actually more competitive than many other. It's
I have a 46% Republican, 41-42% Democrat, and 12% independent and others. So it's
you have the best reasonable shot at winning out of all the candidates in Central PA.
I'm so going to miss you when you go to Sweden.
We'll miss him too.
I mean, that's good stuff he knows in the back of his pocket. And then the other day I asked you if you knew the like state presidential breakdown, and you acted like that was weird, and then you pulled this crap out of your... Anyway. Okay, so let me change that.
Where is your district? Like, where is it located, for those that don't know?
It's all of Montour County and about half of Northumberland County, mm-hmm. which is the
all of Montour, the smallest county.
Yes, yes. It's fabulous. It really is. But, you know, Montour basically has one city in it, Danville. Everything else is very rural, so that's a major issue trying to reach those voters.
Is it or isn't it? I mean, how many of your voters are outside of Danville?
Probably about 3,000 or so. Mm. So I consider every one individual voter to be...
I mean, I don't mean to write them off. I'm just sort of, voter. You know, if we're going to be strategic and you've got limited resources,
yeah.
A lot of your votes are going to come from Danville, right?
A lot of my votes, I hope so. Then there's also, the Shamokin, Coltmont, Mount Carmel, Elysburg, and Cole Township areas, mm-hmm. which are our population dense yeah. centers.
Right.
And so would you have the honor of representing all four voters in Centralia?
Yes, I would.
Okay, that's cool.
And even though two of them are Republican and one is a Democrat, I think I would have
voted. So there's three. There's three voters.
Three registered
voters.
Okay,
I was wrong.
Wow, that is some. We are really in our wheelhouse with local politics.
Yeah,
that's awesome. You're not from the area, is that right?
I'm actually native to Shamokin.
I didn't know that.
I grew up in Shamokin.
You're a native girl. Man, you're a great candidate.
Yeah, I went to Penn State, have a degree in accounting from Penn State. Ended up moving out to New Jersey for the next 26 years. Decided to, you know, move back to my old home stomping grounds, and here I am, and I've been back here about 10 years now. And one of the things that I've, been looking at since I've been back is, you know, some of how much our cities really need some help in being revitalized. So that's a big part of why I want to get elected, to try to get more progressive industries to locate here. You know, the solar and the wind industries, I think, are the energy of the future. And I think we got to put ourselves out there and say, welcome, come here, we need you.
I'd like to figure out, and if you see some ideas, we can share them. But I'd also like to figure out if there's ways to aggregate or pool local financial and human capital, because sometimes I worry too much. You know, we worry about, can we get outside investors? And if we could create incentives for people to, you know, like low-risk loans, pools of money, you know, incentives for banks to loan. There was this thing I heard about in Italy once that I was meant to track down, but in Italy they have a law that, like, this could have worked with Pennsylvania House. If an industry shuts down, if you get laid off, if you can get something like four of your coworkers together, you can get a really good term loan from the government
to do what you were doing.
To do what you were doing, right? Because you've got all of these people who know how to make furniture or
do really specific skills,
whatever that is, and they're obviously less. You know, capital is more moves around more easily than people do. That's to me the fundamental problem with organization.
Well, you really have to look at, you know, what resources do we have here in this area? And we've got lots of land for lots of agricultural production.
Yeah.
So, personally, I have a thing about saying we need to legalize recreational marijuana.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, we've got the land to be able to go ahead and grow some of this here. And if you look at the Colorado experience, they managed to generate 18,000 jobs by legalizing recreational marijuana. So in this area here, I think having another industry that could have that kind of job production would be fantastic.
We've got really fertile soil here.
Do we?
We do, yeah.
Plus it's important to look at from the judicial point of view, that the people who are in prison because of marijuana, who should be let out of prison, whose records should be cleared, who should then be able to get jobs
get
and become productive members of society. It's a really big issue.
Yeah, we pay $36,000 a year to incarcerate somebody for smoking pot. You know, it's only 4 months of pot. Let's save that money. Yeah. Let's save the money in the judicial system.
I'm curious here. So you've talked about a few issues that are near and dear to your heart. You probably went into the campaign saying, I really want to work on these issues. So that would be fair districting, legalizing recreational marijuana, and bringing in alternative energy into the area. I'm curious if in getting out and talking with people in Shamokin, in Danville, in Coltmont, has anybody said, well, I really care about this issue for this reason, and here's what we could do about it. And you're like, whoa, that's a great idea. Like, anything that anybody's, you know, brought up that you're like...
One of the things that really concerns me is for our elderly population. And this is something that I did find as I was going around and talking to people getting petition signatures. And that is the property tax problem that they are getting to the point where they can't afford the property taxes to live in the home that they've lived in for 40 years. And our education systems are underfunded, especially in Shamokin and Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
So how can you ask an aging tax base to pay more for the school tax?
Yeah, it's like squeezing blood from a turnip.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, what I would like to see is if we were to legalize recreational marijuana, we would be getting probably $300 million in tax revenue from that. Guess what? We can use that to fund extended homestead rebate programs for our elderly taxpayers on their homeowners' taxes.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win in that situation. Let's fight the fight for the drugs that we need to. Let's fight the opioid epidemic. Let's leave these let's classify marijuana as alcohol and move forward. And
I wonder if there would be any way to tax secondary residences, vacation residences, at higher rates, you know, because sometimes in these rural areas, I'm not at your district, but thinking like around Eagles Mirror or whatever, you know, because like I want to protect people whose primary, you know, who are fixed income and they live in their primary residence.
Yes.
But, you know, the secondary residences, other properties, I mean,
I definitely think
we can have property tax reform. I also, Taylor, talked about this, and you didn't say this, but I don't think you ever want to move totally off of it because you need something that's not as cyclical with the business economy. You know, we saw what happened in Pennsylvania after 2008 recession. We got stimulus from the federal government. In 2010 is when all the teacher cuts happened because the local property tax base, you know, had dried up. And you know what I'm saying? So business cycles will always be there. So you need tax streams that are sometimes counter-cyclical to that. Sorry to geek out there.
No, that's cool. But you need to have a multifaceted plan for education funding.
Right.
That
isn't just
tied to one economic
problem. Absolutely, multifaceted
problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna end here just for now. But thank you for coming, and I'd love to talk more about policy ideas and.
Yeah, and how you're planning on winning.
How can people find you?
Yeah.
I'm on Facebook, I'm on the internet.
And it's D-O-N-N-E-L-L-Y, which you fortunately have in your shirt for me.
Yes.
And it's S-A-R-A-H.
Yep.
Sometimes it's without an H. Right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Any, you know, what do you have sort of like your one sentence?
Open mic, yeah.
Things you say to voters.
Andrew, look at me. Vote your conscience. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for all your hard work, guys. You did
Cheers.
A great job.
Thank you. Likewise.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I crossed the valley's fair, man. Thank you, man.